You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Fantastic. It is always, thank you, it is always a joy to stand before you. Daryl, first time service leading. Bit of a natural, hey? Don't you reckon? Yeah, give it a round of applause. I mean, you must have done some pastoring work in the past, I reckon. If you don't know, Pastor Darrow, I used to lead a church for many years, and I really felt that this is a season where he's going to journey at Sun Life Church. And Darrow and Eunice, we are so blessed to have you at this church. Just the creativity and just your humility and just your friendship. And over the years, we've, you know, grown to know each other and love and respect each other. So thank you so much for serving and just doing whatever I ask you to do. It means a lot to me. And I know that God's got a wonderful purpose and plan. He's definitely not finished and done with you guys yet. And I'm so glad that for this season I have you. So thank you. Give him another round of applause. Thank you so much. You know, I'm so encouraged because I've got some Sun Lifers traveling, because we know it's school holidays, and it was so encouraging when certain Sun Lifers would say, "Hey, by the way, Pastor, I'm away, I'm up north, or I'm down south, but I'm still going to lean in, I'm still going to join in with the online service." It is so encouraging for us to always find time to slow down on the Lord's Day, Sunday, to really worship Him, to lean in and hear what He has to say to us through Scripture. And so if you are joining us from wherever you may be around this state or even around the globe, why don't you right now just online let us know where you are joining us. And to those Sun Lifers who are on holidays, on break, and you're still joining me right now, thank you so much. And I do pray that God will speak to you through me as you watch me on the screen. All right? And this is live. All right? So it's going to be really, really good. Can I say this to you? You know, being a Christian, we have a saying that God or Jesus is our Savior, correct? So we trust that Jesus is Savior, and we all love the fact that Jesus is Savior. We want a Savior. We want someone to save us. Yeah, my kids have been big time watching Bondi Rescue. That's bit of their treat. They get to watch Bondi Rescue because they love the fact that these heroes, these surf guards would save people. We love to say, "Jesus, you're my Savior." We love a Savior. But we also need to understand that we have to obey Jesus as Lord. Is that right? Now that's a hard one. Is that right? Because when Jesus is Lord, He is King, He is Master. We have to obey Him. And that's the one, let's be honest, right? That's the one that we all struggle. I want a Savior, I want Him to save me, but I don't really want to obey Him all of the time. Maybe 90%, but not 10%. You know what I'm talking about? Well, this morning here, I want to encourage you that it's so important that if you want to experience true joy, the joy that God has to offer us through the gospel, we have to learn to obey Him wholeheartedly. I want to talk about joy in obedience. And I want to unpack the next part of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 onwards, and give you three joys that you would experience if you would really obey Jesus. All right? Now let me tell you those three joys right now. Number one, it is the joy of working out your salvation. And I'll talk a bit about that. Secondly, the joy of shining forth hope to this world. And thirdly, the joy of leading others into joy. And that's a bit confusing, and I want to talk a bit about that. So that's where we're going this morning. So let me pray, ask God's Spirit to help us and help you to hear what He has to say to you through me. So let's pray. Father, I pray now that You would help me to bring Your Word to Your people. Thank You so much for entrusting me with this wonderful and huge responsibility. Would You help me right now? Will You speak to Your people through me? Will You give me a passion, a clarity of speech, authority, as I expound Your word in Philippians. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? If you have your Bible, turn with me now to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12. That's where we're up to right now as we study this book together. The joy of working out our salvation. Let me read verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, remember, he's in prison in Rome. He's writing to his friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord in Philippi. As you have always obeyed, there's obedience, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. So they've been obeying Jesus, the way of Jesus. And he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now let's stop right there. This passage here, a lot of times I've heard people try to explain this or have this wrong theology that, well, I may lose my salvation, because they'll bring me to this particular passage here. We need to understand this in light of what Paul discussed at the beginning of chapter 2. Remember, at the beginning of chapter 2, last week, Pastor Timothy was talking about Jesus as a wonderful model. Remember, in the humiliation of Jesus, remember Jesus who gave up his divinity, right? He humbled himself to become what? Flesh, become man. He humbled himself to what? To death. And of course, Paul would say to death on a cross. That's the worst form of death. But as you read through that wonderful hymn or poem, there was this exaltation that God would what? Exalt him. Every knee, every tongue, every mouth confess that he is Lord. We see the pattern. There's humiliation and then there's exaltation. All right, go with me just at the very beginning of chapter 2, verse 8. Look what Paul would say. And being found in the appearance as man, so he's talking about Jesus. Jesus humbled himself. There it is. Humbled himself. He became what? Obedience. There it is, that theme. Obedience to death. Death on a cross. Right? This humiliation, exaltation, is a pattern that we see in Jesus, and it's also a pattern for you and I today. You want to enjoy exaltation? You want to enjoy glorification? You want to enjoy joy? Are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to obey just like what Jesus did? Now, the author of Hebrews would say this. So if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The author would say this. For the joy set before him, that's Jesus, Jesus endured the cross, all right, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you see that? Jesus did not want to go to the cross. That's the honest truth. Jesus did not want to die that horrific death, right? But there was a joy, and we all know that that joy for Jesus was this wonderful realization that, you know what, in my death, all broken people, you and I, we get to be in fellowship with God the Father. And that joy there was so great that Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to obey the Father. I'm going to give up my divinity and I'm going to take on flesh and I'm going to die. That joy outweighed my suffering. Now, with that in mind, Paul takes on that same theme and he applies it to the Christians in Philippi. And he says to them, well done for obeying. Keep obeying. You obeyed when I was there. When I preached the gospel, you followed the way of Jesus. You obeyed everything I taught you. And I'm no longer there. I'm in Rome. And you're doing it even more. Keep obeying. Keep your obedience. And he says, if you keep obeying, he goes, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now listen carefully. The working out of our salvation with fear and trembling does not mean that salvation is something that we have to grab hold of tightly. Because if we're not careful, we may lose it. That's not Paul's theology. It is so important that we understand the Bible in its entirety. Remember, our salvation is not us holding on to God and hoping that we will hold on to him to the day we die. No. Our salvation is God holding on to us. He's grabbing hold of us. And we know that he'll never let us go. Amen? And there's so many passages in the Bible that Paul would say, well, salvation is a free gift from God. It's a gift from God. You cannot merit it. You cannot earn it. Well, read Romans. Read Ephesians. Read Galatians. Paul just says it's a free gift. You cannot earn it. God in his grace will save you, right? But what does he mean by saying, work out your salvation? with fear and trembling. Well, this is what he means by that. To work out our salvation is to explore the gift of salvation, to experience this gift of salvation, and to enjoy this gift of salvation. And the only way for us to work it out, in other words, for us to experience it and explore it and enjoy it, is for us to keep trusting Jesus and keep obeying Jesus. Do you know that salvation, right, that gift of salvation is not only eternal life? I mean, that's part of it. Yeah, if you trust Jesus, I can tell you right now, if you were to go home tonight, and I don't want any one of you to go home tonight to the Lord, but if you were to go home tonight, you know that you're going to enjoy Jesus forevermore. That's a given. That's a certainty. But you know that salvation, that life actually starts today. Did you know that? That when you are saved, and if you are not saved yet, the reason why I'm still doing this and I'm still preaching until the day the Lord takes me home is I want you to experience that new life that starts today when you begin to obey Jesus. It starts today. You know when Jesus once said, you know, in John 10:10, that famous passage where I have come to give you life and that life to the full, remember? Yeah. Well, Jesus wasn't necessarily referring to eternal life. He was actually talking about the life right now. We don't see it in the English text, but in the Greek text, it talks about this present life right now, where he says that if you trust me, if you begin to obey me, did you know that I came to give you that abundant, overflowing life that starts right now, and you get to enjoy it right now? You don't have to wait until the day you die. Yeah, that's going to be a great life, but you can have a great life right now. It's for you right now. But sadly, listen carefully, sadly, some Christians, some of us, we are given that gift of salvation. We have it, but we're not enjoying the life that God wants us to enjoy right now. I have a friend in Melbourne. I won't mention his name because he's probably watching. And he bought this new house, and in the kitchen was a dishwasher. And he's never owned a dishwasher before. And I came over his house once when I was visiting Melbourne. I said, "Hey, wow, congratulations on the new house. Beautiful dishwasher. Have you used it yet?" And he's like, "No, I haven't." I said, "Well, just use it. Just press start. Or hop online, get the menu and read it." And he goes, "No, I don't want to use it. I'm not comfortable. I don't know whether it'll clean as good as I clean it." Well, anyhow, every time I visit Melbourne, I stay at his house. I say, "Hey, bro, are you using a dishwasher?" And he always gives me the same response, "No, I'll get to it one day." I kid you not, to this day, that dishwasher is an extra set of cabinetry drawers that he used to store plates and Tupperware. And he doesn't use it as a dishwasher. I mean, what a shame. Like, you've got something there for you to enjoy. It's right there. But because of maybe fear, or maybe because of the fact that it's laziness or disobedience or whatever it is, you don't want to use it. You see, our salvation, right, is something that we are to explore today. We are to experience this great life that God has offered us today, and we are to enjoy it. And the only way to do that is when us, as Christians, obey Him. When you obey Jesus, I promise you, you're going to enjoy the life that He is offering you right now. And let's be honest, there's going to be moments where you have to make the decision. Should I obey Him or shouldn't I? Should I serve Him? Shouldn't I? Should I give this amount to the church? Shouldn't I? Should I buy that investment property? Shouldn't I? You know, when you begin to hear the voice of God, when God begins to speak to you as you study Scripture, or as I begin to preach to you, and you clearly hear God, and God is saying, "This is what you ought to do, son, daughter. This is where I want you to be going. This is how I want you to be spending your money." I want to encourage you to obey Him. I promise you that if you are to obey Him and follow His lead, you're going to experience and you're going to explore and you're going to enjoy the salvation that God has offered to you. You're going to love it. But imagine this. Let me flip it like this. Wouldn't it be a pity, a shame, if we live the rest of our days having the gift of salvation right there, but not really enjoying it? Wouldn't that be a shame? Imagine that. Imagine someone gave you this wonderful, I don't know, maybe an appliance, maybe a vacuum cleaner. But forever, you're not going to use it. You want to use the good old broomstick? Good on you. And it's sitting right there. And the day you die, no one's opened that box. No one's used it yet. What a pity. That's the reason why Paul would say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The fear and trembling here, listen up, Sun Lifers. Listen up if you're watching online. The fear and trembling here is the fear of missing out, living the life that God wants you to live today. You and I, we are all created differently with a specific purpose to bring glory to God, because God has saved us for Himself. And you know what? If we are not working, in other words, enjoying this, exploring and really experiencing salvation, there is a fear that we may miss out living the life that God wants us to live. We'll still go to heaven. You still get there. You still enjoy Him forever. But you know what? It's a shame. Because there is a life that God wants you to live, and it starts with us trusting God and obeying God. If you begin to obey God, if you begin to hear God, and you go, yes, God, I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to do this thing, it may be crazy. Now, I don't want to embarrass Ian and Anna, I know, because I've done a bit of life with Ian and Anna. Your obedience to God in doing what you're doing here, leaving your family and friends, I guarantee you, you're having such joy. Even though it's been tough, but there's joy. When we obey, when we trust Jesus, we are going to really enjoy that salvation, that gift of life that God has given to us to enjoy today. So be a Christian that lives like that. But you know what? As I look through here, look what we notice right here in verse 13. Let's carry on. He says this, "For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill His good purpose." Can you see that? Like, I was reading this during the week. I'm going, that's so confusing. Now you're telling me that you're not going to leave me alone, God. The Bible says right here that you are now going to what? You're going to help me get through this. Because I know for a fact, as a pastor, there are certain days where I really struggle, seriously, just being a Christian. I actually said that. There are days that I struggle being Christian. I struggle to share the gospel. I struggle to love my neighbor. I struggle to raise my family and my children in a godly way. I struggle to lead this church. Like you, I'm broken. Like you, I have my days where I struggle and I don't want to obey God. But the Bible says right here that God is what? He's going to work in me. He's going to help me. He's not going to leave me alone. Can you see the play on words there? Can you see that carefully? Paul says we are to work out our salvation and God is to work in our salvation. Do you see what Paul is saying and what Paul is doing? He says this, is that God loves you so much that when God saves you, He's not going to leave you to your own devices. He's not going to leave you alone. He's still going to push you forward. He's still going to make you take another steps. There are going to be moments where you want to give up, but God is not going to give up on you. I can only explain it like this. Be honest with you, there are certain days I want to give up ministry. There are certain days where I go, Lord, just give me some tools. Let me play around with tools. And let me play with some bricks or some wood because I know they're not going to complain and I know they're not going to send me any emails. And if I don't like that piece, I'll start with another piece. And days I want to give up, but there's something inside of me. God says, Ben, you're not done yet. I'm not giving up on you yet. You're still doing this. And I find myself taking another step, another stroke. And I find myself still doing this. You know why? Because God is working in me. He's pushing me forward. And I'm going to still obey Him and go forward. How great is our God? He doesn't save us and goes, well, there you go. Figure it out. Enjoy this new life. I will take a back seat and I'll just watch passively. No, no. God says, I'm going to work in you as well. I'm going to help you enjoy this salvation. I'm going to help you explore my love and my grace. I'm going to help you living your life as a son, as a daughter of the Most High. I read that and I go, I'm so glad that I have God. This week here, friends, this week here, when you're living this week here and you're doing your best to obey God, and those moments where you find it really, really tough and you feel that, oh, I am just so bad, I failed again and I've messed up again, I want you to be encouraged to know that God is working in you and God is still moving you forward without you even realizing it. So don't slow down. Keep moving forward. Keep obeying God. Keep enjoying God for yourself. And don't just have that second-hand enjoyment. Well, I wish I had that joy like so-and-so. I wish that joy kind of rubs onto me. No, no. You get to experience. You get to explore. You get to enjoy God for yourself because God is working in you and you work out your salvation. Amen? That's a joy in obedience. The second thing is this, is the joy of shining forth hope. Right? Now, if we are obedient to God, we actually become this channel of hope to those around us. Well, look with me in verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Now, this is very confusing. Okay, very confusing. Let me say this. This does not mean that if you do all things without grumbling, without complaining, without arguing, then you will be pure. Then you will be blameless. Then you'll be sons and daughters of God. No, because you need to read all of Paul's writing. All right? Because remember, Paul, there are other letters where he says, wait a minute, you are holy. You are blameless. Go with me to Ephesians 1, verse 4. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 4. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be what? Holy and blameless in his sight. How about Romans 8, 14, 15? He says this, for those who have led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slave. Rather, Spirit you receive brought you about your adoption into sonship. We are God's children. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. You are holy. You are blameless in his sight. So clearly in Philippians, Paul is not saying, if you do this, don't argue, don't complain, don't grumble, then you will be God's children, then you will be blameless. No, he doesn't mean that. What he means is this, is because you are God's children, because you are blameless and holy in God's sight, because God has chosen you in eternity past, you have to live out the reality of who you are. And the people of God are humble people. People of God are people who follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We don't complain. We don't argue. We don't grumble. And if we keep doing that, we have to question, are we really the people of God? Do you understand that? That's what Paul is saying right here. Because God has done everything for us to be adopted, to be his son and daughter, we are to be his people by not arguing, by not complaining, by not grumbling. We should pursue humility. We should obey God without being upset with God. Have you ever done that before? God, I know what you want me to do. I'll do it, but I'll be very angry. Don't be like that. You know, I might correct you as your pastor because I love you. I get your point, Pastor Ben. I'll do it, but I'm going to send 1,000 emails at you. Don't do that. We are to be God's children, and we are to live lives that are not always about us. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't argue. And if we live like that in our obedience towards one another, in obedience towards our leaders, in obedience towards our God, look what verse 16 says. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Can you see that? Your obedience, my obedience, will shine bright to those in this dark world and they will see this hope that we have. Keep that in mind. We will be bright. When we, Sun Life Church, Christians, when we are working together in unity, in humility, without arguing and grumbling, in here, we will shine bright in here. And you know what? We will shine bright out there. And they will see that we have a hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, Jordan, your creative director, and me, your senior pastor, we were underneath this auditorium. Yeah, underneath this auditorium. There's a little manhole that you can climb underneath. We're running some cables. And let me say it's dark down there. Very dark. Let me say it's only probably that high. So we're doing commando crawls. If you got an issue with being claustrophobic, that is not the best place to be hiding if you ever play hide and seek in this church. All right, it is scary, it is dark, it is dusty. And I tell you, one of the most scariest things down there was that once we finished our job, and we're only in there one at a time, okay, so it wasn't both of us in there, we weren't both in there holding hands, no, it was one guy on top, one guy underneath, just in case something happened to the guys underneath, the guy on top can make a phone call. That's all it was, right? And one of the scariest things is actually trying to figure out which direction is the manhole. Because it's dark, you have a little torch, and is it, because you're kind of disoriented, is it this way? And I remember Jordan kind of, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I say it anyway, Jordan had a bit of a, you know, little moment down there. I kind of thought I lost my creative director there for 1 second. And it was purely because we could not locate the manhole. Yeah. Because there's like a little door. There's a little door that if you close that door, there's no light coming through the manhole. Simple as that. But if there's a bit of light coming through, and no matter how far you are from that opening, if you can see that light, you know you can get out of that place. If you can see that light, you don't care how dark it is. If you keep following that light, you know if you keep pursuing it, you will get out of that mess. Do you know that we have hope in this dark world? Do you know that we have the word of life, as Paul would say right here? We have the good news of God. We have hope to this dark world because we have Jesus. Do you know that? And the way we live out our days, by being humble, obeying without arguing and complaining, we will bring hope to this dark world. I just pray that you understand that whatever context that God has placed you in, whether it's at home, whether it's dropping off the kids at school, or working at the hospital, or in a factory, or in a school, or studying at uni, I pray that you understand that God has placed you there, right, for His glory. He did not give you work so that you can go and make a bit of money and pay your rent and then live a life. No. He has placed you there for His glory, and you need to understand that God wants you to bring hope to the context that God has placed you in. We come here every week, right, to hear the gospel message, for me to remind you of the biblical truth, to encourage you so that when you leave this place and you go to the places that God has set you, because He is very intentional. Our God is a very intentional God. He has placed you in these contexts for His glory so that you will live lives to shine out this hope that you have in Jesus Christ. When you and I are obedient to the people around us, when we are the best employee, when we're the best student, when we are the best mum at the sports sideline and not complaining to the referee. You know what I mean, right? Oh, wow, there's a hope in us. And they look at us. And I pray that God would use us to shine hope to them, and that there is such joy when we have the opportunity to say, I have the answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. I really pray for that. And that's a joy for us to keep on obeying God. Amen? Thirdly, is this joy of leading others into joy. Now this gets a bit confusing, all right? Verse 17. Okay, just hang in there for a little bit more. He says in verse 17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. Let's stop right there. Let me explain this. This is what I think it means. Pour is referring to the Old Testament ways of sacrificing things to God. Now, if you've been a Christian for some time, you would know that in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals to God. All right? A sheep or a goat or a bull to God. Okay, that's the primary component to the sacrifice, this unblemished animal to God. But there was also some wine, all right, poured into a cup to the side. That's known as the drink offering, all right? But it wasn't the primary thing to the sacrifice. It was only secondary. Go with me to Numbers chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. I'll try to explain here. Numbers 15, 8 to 10. When you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or a sacrifice for a special vow or a fellowship offering to the Lord, bring with the bull a grain offering 3/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with half a hin. I have no idea what is half a hin. Or I don't know, it's probably something. I didn't have time to research it during the week. All right, half a hin of olive oil, and also bring half a hin of wine as a drink offering. You see that? I think what Paul is saying is like this. Brothers and sisters in Philippi, your great work in obeying Jesus, loving one another, living without arguing and complaining and grumbling, your obedience, your great work, that's the main sacrifice. That's the main component. And for me, as my days are coming to an end, I take on the secondary role. I'm just the drink offering. Look carefully again. In verse 7, he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from you. You, Christians in Philippi, you're the real deal. You're the main thing. I'm secondary. Talk about humility. Talk about the fact that Paul says, you know what? I'm not the great church planter. I'm not the great apostle. I'm just secondary. I'm just taking the smaller role. You keep on the legacy. You keep the bigger role. That's you. You see that unity? You see how they're working together? And look at verse 18. Now it says, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Can you see that? I rejoice with you and you rejoice with me. It's mutual. Listen carefully. This is my point here. When we obey Jesus and when we stick in our lane and we do the things that God has called us to do and we use the gift that God has given us and we just serve without comparing and without competing and we work together, you can be first, I can be second, you can be third. It doesn't matter. When we do it together, and when we obey the gifts that God has given us, and we work together, there's joy in all of us. There's joy in you, there's joy in me, there's joy in this church. That's what he's saying right there. He says to the Christian, you do your part. You can be the primary component. I'll be the secondary component. It doesn't matter. We do it together. Your joy, my joy. It's in us. So when you and I are willing to obey Jesus with the gifting that God has given to us and we stick to our lane and we do the things that God wants us to do and we don't compare and say, I wish I had that. I wish I could be a great singer. I wish I could play the guitar like Adam on here. No, you can't play like Adam. Adam plays like Adam. You stick to your lane. Your joy will be his joy. His joy will be your joy. You know that church use you saw just then? The church use? That starts off with the staff team on Tuesday trying to figure out what should be announced based on all the requests that come through. The lovely Zanette gets the idea. She does all the nice designs. She makes it look very pretty. Then Ryan grabs a camera. He starts to find angles. He grabs Tony to be at the other end. It's all edited. It's all compiled. And then you get church news. And you watch it and you go, wow, that's amazing. There's a joy. I'm pretty sure you watch church news not going, ooh, I want to fight someone right now. I don't think so. You watch church news, well, what a great group of people. But you know, that's because everyone's doing their own thing together, playing their part, serving one another, obeying with the gifts that God has given them. And the final product is joy for everyone. That's how I see this last point here, is that when we're obedient, when we begin to just stick with what God has given to us, we will lead others into joy and their joy will lead us into joy. Jesus once said this in John 15, 10, 11. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see that? This whole obedience God's joy in us, our joy in Him, it is all complete. We get to lead others into joy in our obedience. So this week here, church, I encourage you not to only have Jesus as your Savior, but to really obey Jesus as your Lord. Amen? And as you begin to obey Him, I promise you, through the Word of God, not through me, through the Word of God, you will experience joy. The joy of working out your salvation, the joy of bringing forth light, hope to this world, and the joy of leading others into joy, which will also be your joy. Amen? Keep serving the Lord with joy. Let me pray.